Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Hola! I am Dan Day, and it's a Miami Monday, so you know what we do to help you get through the worst day of the week. We tailor the show just a little extra Miami, so you'll be a little more smooth. Of course, at Dan Day Radio on Twitter, let me know what makes you so Miami. If I like it, I may just read it out on the air. Speaking of Miami, Joe Rose Show. They're your Miami morning show. We're going to check in with them in just a few minutes. They're talking to Ben Volen about the big Cam Newton signing. Dan Le Batard Show. We'll have some weekend observations. Then Hawk and Dono. Cheesecake Factory is all you need to know. Here are the headlines that you need to know. The Heat's NBA restart schedule has been released. They resume play August 1st at 1 p.m. against Denver. Howard Schnellenberger will receive the Paul Bear Bryant Lifetime Achievement Award. The coach brought Miami its first national championship and started the program at FAU. Cam Newton has signed with the Patriots. He will compete for the starting QB position. The Biscayne Bay Brewing Company has released the official Miami Marlins lager. The brewery will have a brew hall in Marlins Park when it reopens. The Lakers are finalizing a deal with J.R. Smith. LA is signing the guard to fill the spot left by Avery Bradley, who will sit out the rest of the season to protect his health. Netflix is set to produce a six-part series about Colin Kaepernick, chronicling his football career and battle for social justice. No release date has been set. Johnny Manziel says his days of playing pro football are probably in the past. The quarterback played in the NFL, CFL, and AAF. And right now, let's take a step into the day spa. A Louisiana man has been arrested for swimming in a Bass Pro aquarium. Not me. I think not me. A Vermont woman has run 87 marathons in 87 days and hopes to top out at 100 marathons in 100 days. Yeah, but can she run a marathon with no training in 6 hours? I know I can. Costa Coffee has released its Coca-Cola coffee. I'll put anything in my mouth. A baby mountain lion was found wandering the streets of San Francisco. What? Could maybe understand Portland because Portland's weird, but San Francisco? No way. Now on to weather. Tonight's forecast cloudy with temperatures in the mid-80s. Getting up on a Monday morning? Not so easy. But it's made easier when you hear the Joe Rose Show. He's on weekdays, 5 to 10 a.m. right here on 560 The Joe. This morning, Joe Rose, Zach Krantz, Hollywood, they caught up with Ben Volen talking about QB Cam. Will Cam start in New England? And Patriots get slapped on the wrist for doing some cheating.
Ben Volen going to join us here, who probably, when he went to bed Saturday night, Joe, didn't think that his Sunday would have all kinds of New England Patriot news all over it. But he did have that yesterday. Welcome to the show, Ben. How you doing?
What's up, boys? Forget about Saturday night. When I had finished dinner last night, I didn't expect to be dropped two big news bombs onto my plate. So you never know what to expect when it comes to the Patriots.
All right. So the two guys I'm working with here are just bummed out for Dolphin fans. Cam Newton is now the starting quarterback for the Patriots. What do you expect from Cam Newton? What's he got? What do we know about Cam Newton right now?
We know that Cam Newton obviously didn't have a huge market. If he's signing with the Patriots for a minimum salary plus incentives, reportedly up to $7.5 million, any team could have had Cam Newton. He was sitting out there. It's not like the Patriots spent a huge fortune to get him. They were able to wait it out, get him on pretty favorable terms. To me, the big thing is the injuries with Cam. In 2018, he suffered a shoulder injury that really sapped him of his throwing strength. And then last year, he broke a foot in the preseason that never really healed properly. He actually broke his foot in a preseason game against the Patriots, made a couple games, and then sat out the rest of the season. But, you know, I'm no medical expert. It's just a hobby of mine on the weekend. The shoulder injury to me is more concerning. Like the broken foot, he can recover from that. And, you know, with the shoulder, it's now 2 years off from that injury. So he's had some time to heal. To me, the injuries were why Cam Newton was still available. Teams weren't able to have him checked out by the doctors and do physicals. So the Patriots, you know, they obviously feel fairly comfortable about where Cam's at physically because they did give him the incentives. But there's also very little risk here. And if Cam Newton does not pan out, then, you know, no harm, no foul. It's just a one-year deal and not big money. So I definitely understand why the Patriots made this move.
Who's a starter day one? And I mean, when they go to camp, somebody's got to take the first snap. How's this going to work? And is Stidham told you're basically the backup to Cam Newton, or how's this get treated for camp?
I mean, I definitely think it's an open competition. I don't think anyone is being handed anything. If we're talking about sentimentally, you know, the first snap of training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Brian Hoyer because he's the veteran in the room. Even though Stidham kind of beat him out last year, to me, Hoyer is still like the veteran leader in that room. And Cam Newton being a new guy, I don't think that the Patriots will just kind of anoint him like that. However, when you look at the contract and considering the Patriots are willing to pay Newton up to $7.5 million in incentives, to me, Cam's the starter. And the only way he's not the starter is if he just really can't pick up any of the offense, just has a horrible spring, and the Patriots say, look, this just is not going to work out, and we have to cut bait. And I don't expect that. To me, signing Cam shows that all this hype about Jarrett Stidham was a little overblown. Stidham has an amazing camp. I do think the Patriots will consider letting him play, but you know, he's also a young guy who, even though he has a year in the system, just missed his off season with the OTAs, and it's a very weird season with the pandemic. I think that Cam Newton is going to be the starter this year, and if he's no good, then the Patriots are, you know, right back in the same place next year. They're looking for a quarterback, and if he is great, they just got great quarterback play for $7.5 million. So I think it's a good situation for the Patriots to be in.
But can you understand the eyes or the ears of the rest of the AFC East fans when New England does pick up a Cam Newton, and now it goes from Jarrett Stidham might being the starting quarterback going into camp or going into the season to the possibility of Cam Newton? Is that, as someone who's covering the team but also could see the rest of the AFC East, is it a scary feeling for the rest of the AFC East, or it's not a big deal?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're the other AFC East teams, I think certainly this puts the Patriots kind of much more on the map than Jarrett Stidham would have. I never bought the hype with Stidham. I never fully bought in that after 20 years of Tom Brady and everything that Belichick stands for, that he was just going to hand over the position to a fourth-round pick who had one season barely played, and of his four passes, one of them was a pick six. I just never thought that Belichick was just going to hand the job to Stidham. Now, maybe he wins it. Maybe he still develops and he becomes a starter down the road, but you have a chance to add a guy who, when healthy, could be a top-10 quarterback and not too long ago was the MVP of the NFL. I just never bought in that Belichick was just going to hand over the quarterback job to Stidham. It just goes against everything that Belichick stands for. And yeah, I mean, if you're the rest of the AFC East, you hope that Cam's shoulder injury is still affecting him and that he can't bomb the ball downfield like he used to and can't squeeze it into tight windows. If he's back, if he's anywhere close to where he was just a couple of years ago, this could be a great match and a very scary proposition for the AFC.
You like this receiving core they have right now at both tight end and wide receiver?
It doesn't look great on paper, but I do think, especially at receiver, I think it has a chance to be better than it looks. I mean, I know Edelman is 34 years old. He's coming off a 100-catch season, and he was the only option pretty much in the passing game last year. Still had a fantastic season. Now, again, how is he going to perform without Tom Brady? But I still think Edelman still has plenty left in the tank. N'Keal Harry had a bad first rookie NFL season, but he's a physical beast. I'm very interested to see what a guy like him, 6'3", 230 pounds, just like a truck with the ball in his hands and a big physical guy. I think Cam Newton's really going to enjoy it. You remember in Carolina, he had Kelvin Benjamin.
That's right.
Benjamin actually put up some big numbers there. And so I could see N'Keal Harry doing that. And Mohamed Sanu, you know, is a number three receiver, a possession guy, whose season last year was really derailed by having to switch teams midseason, and then he hurt his foot in a game and was never able to recover. Then, you know, you have to add in guys like James White, who catches 60 to 80 balls a year. Rex Burkhead is basically a slot receiver who plays running back. So they have some good options in the passing game. It doesn't look great on paper, and it didn't look great last year. And then you also have to factor in the offensive line. They're potentially returning all five starters. They didn't have their center, David Andrews, last year. He comes back. They gave Joe Tooney the franchise tag. He's back. So if you have a great offensive line, Joe, I think me and you could put up some good numbers with the Patriots.
They got a good offensive line. I made that clear to these guys this morning that the offensive line is a good one and not a problem. All right, can we move on to the second one, which kind of surprised me last night. Coincidental that these stories pop at the same time? How am I reading into this one? Patriots fined $1.1 million in a third-round pick for the filming of the field during the Cincinnati-Cleveland game. How are you reading into that?
Do you believe in that coincidence? And I've got some swamp land in Central Florida to sell you, Joe. I don't think it was any coincidence that both those stories came out last night. And just my belief here, my hunch, is that I think the NFL actually did the Patriots a solid here. They had to punish the Patriots, given their history. As I've been saying to Patriots fans, like, in the court of law, a person's criminal history absolutely factors into the sentencing. So the fact that they've already had a Spygate, they had Deflategate, it was their third time at the principal's office, they had to punish them. But I also do think they worked with the Patriots a little bit on this. It took them 6 months for Troy Vincent to announce this, and basically the story was all forgotten by fans everywhere. And the fact that it took so long, the NFL kind of purposely dragged their feet, I think. And then I think the NFL allowed the Patriots to release the news on their own terms. So I think the Patriots have had the news in their pocket for a couple weeks, and they decided, hey, we're signing Cam Newton, so let's release it now, so that detracts from the story. So I was a little surprised it was a third-round pick. I thought it'd be more like a fifth-round pick. But the fines or whatever, and even a third-round pick, I mean, that's a 50-50 proposition at best. That guy will even become a real NFL player. So I still think they got a slap on the wrist, and it wasn't that big of a punishment.
And didn't I see, Ben, you even put on Twitter last night possibly that if Cam Newton does come back and play this year and has a decent to pretty good to even better season, leaves in free agency, they get that third round pick back, compensatory pick. So it's like they lost it through the NFL, but they'll probably gain it back if Cam Newton does have a good season and leave.
Yeah, I saw that tweet, and I roll my that is classic Patriots spin. Like, we'll even get, no matter how you slice it, the Patriots are losing a third-round pick. And great, if Cam Newton has a great year and he leaves for free agency, then sure, they'll get their third-round pick back. And they'll probably trade down and select a guard, and the guy will probably never play a snap in the NFL. Like, we can justify it all they want, but the bottom line is the Patriots got docked a third-round pick. And the thing about Newton is interesting, though. Everyone assumes it's just a one-year deal, but the guy's only 31 years old. There's no reason he can't be the Patriots quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years. If he has a healthy season and does well, I mean, he might want to come back and keep playing for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Patriots could have the franchise tag in their pocket, or maybe Newton just won't be as expensive as other quarterback options. So this doesn't necessarily have to be a one-year marriage between Newton and the Patriots. I mean, he could be their quarterback for the next 5 years.
Injured the last 2 years, can he stay healthy? Will be part of the story, because if he's obviously the old Cam Newton, he's pretty damn good. I don't think he's going to run the way he used to. I think the running from the 5-yard line with two backs in front of him out of the shotgun and running over the top of safeties and linebackers, you think he goes back to that style or he changes it a little bit?
No, I think they're going to try to teach him to be more cautious, try to get him to run out of bounds a little bit more. Yeah, the thing about Cam over the years is he's so big. He's like a linebacker back there.
Correct.
And he just takes big hits, and it doesn't even look like it's that big of a shot. And it's probably why he doesn't get the penalties called against him, too. So, yes, I do think the Patriots will teach Cam to throw the ball away quicker, to run out of bounds quicker, or just to be more decisive with his reads, give him more defined plays, things of that nature. It's not going to be easy. I mean, he's coming in now, hasn't had an offseason. This is going to be the weirdest training camp ever. To your point about should the AFC East be scared, maybe. This is such a weird year that who knows how it's all going to fit together. In a normal year, it'd be very interesting to see how Cam Newton does, but can he pick everything up quickly? Can the Patriots kind of learn his style quickly enough and tailor the playbook to him? There's still a lot of big questions about this, but given how little of a financial commitment it is and how the Patriots have 5 quarterbacks on their roster and a total of cap space of like $3 million for the 5 players. It's pretty unbelievable. Sometimes you get what you pay for, and so it'll be interesting to see if the Patriots can cobble together a good quarterback.
Ben, I know people are going to ask this question, not to get away from Cam Newton, because that is the story. But, like, how does this happen where an advanced scout goes – and the people that are there are shooting down on the field and the sideline, there's got to be somebody that says, hey, guys, these are rules of the NFL. They're kind of watching us tightly. Make sure you – how is somebody not police this to make sure that doesn't happen?
So I agree, and that's, I think, why the Patriots were punished as harshly as they were, at least partially, that no one in the organization knew the rules or was reminding anyone of the rules. Now, I actually believe the Patriots, and you guys know me, I'm as skeptical as they come, but I believe the Patriots that this was just a mistake. And the way it was explained to me was, you know, they're doing a documentary for the website, and they sent a cameraman on the road, or a small production crew on the road with the scout. And these are guys, even though they've been to 100 Patriots games, they only do home games, and they're allowed to stand behind the bench and shoot the bench, and they've never, you know, so they've never been to a road game before, and so they're up in the press box for the first time. And so the videographer just sets up his camera and says, oh, I'm going to take some B-roll of the sideline, because that's what the scout's looking at. And the Bengals are watching this the whole time saying, are you kidding me? And right. Eventually they come over and rectify the situation. But I believe that the video producer, who had never been to a road game before, just didn't understand the rules. Now it's the Patriots' fault, especially considering their history with Spygate. It's their fault for not making sure that every single person in the organization knew all the videotaping rules. But I do generally believe then that this was a mistake and that the football operation really had nothing to do with it.
Boy, you are drinking that extra Kool-Aid today. That cherry Kool-Aid got some extra sugar today. All of a sudden, the Patriots got dumb. What? Why? Not us?
Not us.
Hey, Ben, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you joining us this morning to talk about the story. We'll see. We're going to find out real soon if this thing stays on time. Dolphins and Patriots in game one should be fun.
Fingers crossed, guys, and hope you all are doing well down there.
And we all know New England never cheats. Oh, goodness. Should be a fun game, though, when the Dolphins and the Patriots meet up week one. Coming up, Dan Le Batard.
Stugatz, can you tell me what it is that you were doing before you get started here? Because you just popped into my screen. You were bent over. I saw your butt crack, and you popped into the screen, and it sounded like you had food in your mouth when you started this.
We'll find out the rest of that. Plus, it is Miami Monday, meaning I've got some good Miami music for you on the way here at the Best of the Joe Show. This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and it's a Miami Monday, so I got a Miami artist by the name of Kat Dahlia. This is her song, Gangsta. Kat Dahlia, born right here in Miami, Cuban mother, a Lebanese-Cuban father at age 18. She was serving tables at a restaurant here in Miami and said, on a whim, I'm going to New York City to make some music. Producer said, your name's Kat Dahlia. She said, yes, it is. See, she's singing about her Cuban mother and her Lebanese-Cuban father, making it sound right. Kat Dahlia, Gangsta. Dan Le Batard Show, it's always gangsta, especially on Mondays because you get Stugatz Weekend Observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Stugatz, can you tell me what it is that you were doing before you get started here? Because you just popped into my screen. You were bent over. I saw your butt crack, and you popped into the screen, and it sounded like you had food in your mouth when you started this.
No food in my mouth. I dropped my phone, and so I was picking it up. That's all. There's not a great story there. Sorry you had to see that.
I'm sorry.
Then, after a bad fall off a really short staircase... 2 years ago, at Augusta, Dan, after injuring his back, Dustin Johnson is back. DJ, winning the Travelers was the second most impressive thing Dustin Johnson did on Sunday. Joakim Noah doing Lord knows what inside the bubble collision course. Well... the Jared Stidham era didn't last long. New England, Cam Chowder.
What happened there?
Yeah, you really nailed
it. Turns out everyone is making that joke, including the Dan Patrick Show that has shirts on sale for it.
What?
Wow, they beat you to it. A stolen joke that you wrapped in a terrible Boston accent. You tricked me, Stugat. You got the laughter from me. I had not heard Cam Chowder.
For parents in South Florida, allowing hundreds of high school kids over their houses while they are home, allowing them to party while paying zero attention to social distancing rules. Please know this. Uh-oh. I have a particular set of skills. I will find out who you are and shame you by name.
Yes.
On national radio.
Yes.
You've been warned. NFLPA Executive Director Damaris Smith said player workouts go against player safety. Damaris, football goes against player safety.
It really does.
In fact, one could easily argue these player workouts are the safest things they do the entire year. And if you meant because of social distancing and COVID, COVID is safer than football. Well, how'd that get?
I think you're right, actually. Put on the poll, Guillermo. What's more dangerous, COVID or football?
I mean, Dan, would you rather test positive, asymptomatic,
that's an important detail. I mean,
just that, or come across the middle, catching a football with a safety lining up. I mean,
okay, but I can go the other way and say, would you rather get coronavirus and it totally impacts your lungs, or would you rather hold for place kicks?
Huh. Still have to think about it, though, right? I mean, I'm pretty certain Brett Favre hasn't stopped talking since the Packers selected Jordan Love. He's on a tour.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He's giving his opinion everywhere.
LeBron thinks Goodell owes Kaepernick an apology. I think LeBron owes Daryl Morey one. Moving on! During the dog days of summer, amidst a global pandemic, there isn't a more welcome distraction than watching the boys trade paint at the Tricky Triangle. ACC Commissioner John Swofford released a nice, heartwarming statement regarding his retirement. Leave it to a man named John Swofford to think that in the middle of a global pandemic and protests that will define the times that we care about, John Swofford. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, quote, "I'm not one to predict exactly what's going to happen and when. I am one who wants to prepare, and we may, in fact, have to adapt on the fly. If we did math with words, and you added all those words up, they would equal nothing." Also, Sankey, by saying we may, in fact, have to adapt on the fly, you are predicting something after starting the quote by saying you are not one to predict what's going to happen. I like you. It's my guy. It's my commissioner. James Franklin left his family in Florida for the first half of the year. Said it feels safer. James, turn on the TV. Any TV.
Yeah, Florida's not in good shape.
Anywhere is safer than Florida. Top headline, CBSSports.com Sunday. Cardinals rookie arrested after driving into Lake Erie. Okay, but is he alive?
Yes, he's fine. His Camaro is dead, though.
Oh. It's unfortunate. The Players Union is unhappy with Brady workouts. Players Union. You think Tom Brady cares? Jabari Parker was seen playing tennis after testing positive for COVID-19. Jabari, the Stugats is strong in you. If you went to Duke, you play tennis. Blanket statement, I'm comfortable saying.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. If you went to Duke, do you play tennis?
Does any basketball program have more former players you could see with a tennis sweater tied around their shoulders than Duke? Yeah. Danny Ferry.
Yeah.
Grant Hill.
All of them.
Christian Laettner. Elton Brand. Jay Billis.
Yeah.
Johnny Dawkins. Mark Allery. It's endless.
Jay Williams.
Jay Williams. Maybe not Zion. I don't know. I'm asking.
Maybe not Corey Maggette.
Maybe. John Elway turned 60. Didn't know horses could live that long. Oh. What happened there? I didn't even write that.
You should put jokes like that out to pasture.
Report. Teams are talking to friends and associates of Colin Kaepernick. Hey, teams, here's an idea. Rather than speaking to friends and associates, maybe you should speak to Colin Kaepernick. Just say hello. Dustin Johnson is a strapping young man. Early betting favorite. First NBA player to test positive for COVID-19 inside the NBA bubble. Has to be Joakim Noah. Bucks. Patriots. Playing for the Lombardi Trophy. Collision course. Boston. With a black quarterback. And not just any black quarterback. That black quarterback should be interesting. Johnny Manziel said his football career is probably over. Johnny, allow me to remove the probably. Hell is he talking about? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
If I was an NFL coach, I would sign Johnny Manziel to a league minimum deal. Just to sell tickets, to sell jerseys, to get interest in my team. And if he doesn't totally suck, which he probably will nonetheless, come looking like you're pretty good. Pretty good. But what do I know? I've barely been to any NFL games. Not a lot, but I've been to some. Hawk and Crowder. Crowder went to a lot of NFL games. In fact, he played in a lot of them. Crowder's on the bench right now, though. He and his wife just recently had their third child, so he's spending some time with the family and drinking some funky Buddha here and there. We text back and forth beer picks every once in a while. So Dono filling in with Hawk.
Rainforest Cafe has very good food. It is completely underrated when it comes to food.
Why talk about sports when we can talk about food? That is next. Plus, it is a Miami Monday, meaning we got some more Miami music on the way here on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day on a Miami Monday. So you know I got some good Miami music for you. From Cat Dahlia, I'm doing good. Pero dime, te conoce como yo. Cuando solo escuchaba reggaetón, no vaya a preguntarte. Prefiero recordarte. Yeah, I'm doing good now that I heard that song from Cat Dahlia from right here in the 305. That's what we do on Mondays. Play you some local music from local artists to kind of smooth out what is usually a pretty rough day. Mondays. Ugh. But, Cat Dahlia, I'm doing good. Yes, indeed, doing good with some Cat Dahlia, Miami's own, Hawk and Crowder. They're on weekdays from 3 to 6 right here on 560 The Joe. Crowder, he's on paternity leave. If he's listening, enjoy a Hop Gun for me. Funky Buddha, always so good. My man, Alex Dono, working with Hawk. And if you ever listen to the Hawk and Crowder show, you know any chance we get to go off topic and talk about something other than sports, we do. And if it's about food, even better. Oh, yeah, man. We love talking about food. So, first, Hawk and Dono will relive the quote-unquote decision. Then Rainforest Cafe has the food, not to mention Cheesecake Factory?
Somebody texted in while we were talking with Mike English there. I was a part of the crew that built the stage for the celebration. We didn't know that LeBron was coming. The decision was being broadcast on the big screen as we worked. We found out in real time. So my guess is the Heat were going to have a celebration for Wade and Bosh regardless. And then the thought would be, this will be much better. This will be a much better party if LeBron announces us. Do you remember what you were doing for the announcement?
Yes, I was. I was watching in the apartment I was living at the time, and you know, just watching by myself. Like, I wasn't at like a viewing party. I wasn't at a sports bar or anything. But much like Mike Inglis, I did a happy dance, and I couldn't sleep that night. Right? I mean, I was so pumped up, and it might just be because I'm a Heat homer, but I had a feeling LeBron was going to say Miami. Like, I was confident. It also, like, in the buildup to it, you had the Stephen A. Smiths and the Chris Broussards, who were both, you know, pretty matter of fact, like, yeah, hey, I have sources, and my sources are telling me that he's going to Miami. And so all the signs were pointing at Miami. I just think a lot of people chose not to believe it. Like, a lot of people either said, well, hey, there's no way he's going to have a TV special if he's not, if he's leaving Cleveland, because that would just be so heartless to the Cleveland fans, who's probably staying in Cleveland. And then other people thought, because, you know, Knicks fans are delusional, all the Knicks fans thought, well, bro, he's coming to the Mecca, bro. He's definitely going to New York. Why wouldn't you want to be in New York? And so outside of that, like, I think people were ignoring the Broussards and the Stephen A. Smiths when most of the signs were pointing to Miami all along.
What were you doing, Solana?
That day, I was a sophomore in high school, I think. A freshman or a sophomore. I was actually at my brother's house. My brother and I, huge Heat fans. And it's actually the house I live in now. So pretty cool to kind of circle back. But yeah, we just hung out all night, waited for it. And I don't remember it being that long and awkward. Like yesterday, I was reminded, I guess because once you found out he was coming to the Heat, you didn't care anymore about it being this 30
But it was the lead up
minutes
to finding out. Though it was the 20 minutes to yeah, leave, like, right, you know, even like last night watching that documentary, like, and they didn't really show that much of it, but I mean, think of, you're waiting to hear, you've got fan bases on pins and needles, you've got owners and teammates on pins and needles, and Jim Gray is asking him, you know, how many people did it take to come to this decision? And like, it was just interminable. And like I was telling Mike Inglis, I was sitting at a bar on the Jersey Shore, a rainforest cafe, no less, only because like I literally looked down at my clock and I was like, oh, it's time for the decision. I'm going to run it. I remember telling my wife and kid, and you know, we were with like, you know, 10 people or whatever. I remember telling them like, yeah, go ahead. Like the miniature golf was like maybe a half mile up on the boardwalk. And I was like, eh, I'll just duck into this rainforest cafe and I'll catch up to you walking. Like I didn't even think, you know what I mean? Like I was like, oh, I'll duck in. I'll look on TV. He's going to announce where he's going. He's going to put on a hat and then I'll catch up. Little did I know, you know, they'd get a whole round of miniature golf in before I was able to get down there. But yeah.
Now, did you celebrate by getting one of those desserts with all the sparklers in it? Have you ever seen those at the rainforest? The volcano? Cafe. Volcano!
I couldn't get out of that place fast enough. By the way, I will tell you this. This is not a popular opinion, I don't think, with adults. Rainforest Cafe has very good food. It is completely underrated when it comes to food. Now, I haven't been there in a long time because my child is 16 years old now. But we used to go to the one in Sawgrass every now and then. But every summer when we would go to the Jersey Shore, there's a big Rainforest Cafe on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. And we would always, I would take my nieces there. That was like a fun night out for everybody because we'd be walking on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. And I just want to go into casinos. So at some point, I'm going to bolt from the group and I'm going to say, I'll see you later. I'll take a cab home and, you know, and then I would go do my thing. So I would take everybody to Rainforest Cafe. And the food is not bad at Rainforest Cafe. I firmly believe that.
I don't know. Maybe the one at the Jersey Shore is better. Like, I've been to the one at Disney Springs a handful of times because, like, I liked going there when I was a kid because it opened, like, many years ago there. And I liked to go in there when I was a kid because I liked all the stuff in there, which is still pretty cool even to this day. But, man, maybe outside of, like, a couple of sandwiches. Like, if you try to get too creative and get a pasta dish or something, it's pretty brutal every time.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this. Solana, you ever had a Rainforest Cafe meal?
Yeah, I loved Rainforest Cafe growing up. I love the smell when you walk in, that very distinct smell that
yes,
you can always smell
at
Rainforest.
It was misty. It was, right. You know, they always had like the water mist going on and the thunder sound. I'm telling you, the food there, somebody texts in, sorry, Hawk, I went 2 years ago at Disney Springs and it sucked.
Maybe that one's the problem. Maybe it's just
maybe
that one
sucks. One's the bad one. I'm telling you, I think that they have underrated food. I'm not, you know, telling you it's a gourmet meal, but it's not like
Zagat rated.
Yeah, I mean, it's not swill is my point, but you know, again, I haven't gone very often.
Cheesecake Factory, though, isn't it? Like, it's the same idea.
You know, there you go. That's not that. I have to tell you, that's not a bad analogy right there. It is a very large menu with a ton of items. Cheesecake Factory is best. I happen to love Cheesecake Factory, and I know people like to hate on it.
Because I love it too.
You know, oh, it's at every mall, and that's, you know, the gluttonous Americans and blah blah blah. You tell me a better entree than that crusted chicken Romano.
Oh, so good.
I dare you. I dare you. Tell me a better entree than the crusted chicken Romano. Go ahead, Solana. Anybody.
I don't have one.
You can't.
Yeah. I don't have one either.
It's an all-time banger. Crusted chicken Romano. Anybody? Text it in. 786-360-0790. Better entree than crusted chicken Romano. And, you know, savvy veterans, you get extra sauce for the spaghetti. Because that sauce is real good, very sweet. But yeah, I like Cheesecake Factory. And I like Rainforest Cafe, so sue me. What are you going to do? I was talking with Dono and Solana during the commercial break. Because I'm off tomorrow. I'm off Wednesday. Dono or Solana said, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I'm going to take my wife, who's from Philly originally. We're going to go up to West Palm Beach. It's her birthday tomorrow. We're doing the social distancing thing because the COVID cases have gotten so large down here in South Florida. Like, we're not going to go to the beach. And we're really trying to stay inside. But we are going to go. Have our masks on. We're going to go up to City Place in West Palm Beach. There is a Rita's Water Ice. And if you've ever had Rita's Water Ice, it is the best water ice on the Jersey Shore. And they happen to have, and in Philly, and they happen to have one in West Palm Beach. So we're going to go up there tomorrow, and we're going to do a little birthday celebration for Lori. So there you go.
I'm all, happy birthday to Lori, by the way.
All about the food people. I'm looking at the texts that are coming in. Bang Bang Chicken and Shrimp. You ever had that there?
No, I've had the Bang Bang Shrimp at Bonefish. What is that? At Bonefish. Bonefish. Oh, that's, yeah, really Bonefish. Good. Oof. Nah, yeah. I've never had the one at Cheesecake, though, but the one at Bonefish is awesome.
Somebody says Factory Burrito Grande. Now, I always see that on the Cheesecake Factory menu. I never get it because I'm like, I'm a Cheesecake Factory. Why should I waste my time with a burrito? Is it good?
I've never had that, no. I had one of their Asian dishes once that was not bad. I think it was like the cashew chicken was pretty good.
What do you like, the brown bread or the sourdough bread?
I like both almost equally. I slightly prefer the sourdough when most people prefer the brown bread.
But I like the brown bread.
I'm just a big sucker for sourdough. Like, sourdough is one of my favorite forms of bread on planet Earth.
Solana, sourdough bread or brown bread at Cheesecake Factory?
Well, if I'm going to go bread, I'm always going sourdough bread. I love the sourdough. Good. However, I normally say no to the bread. I just tell them to bring out the avocado toast because avocado toast at Cheesecake Factory is so good.
But you can't just tell them to bring it out. You have to order.
Yeah, that costs money.
No, right. But I tell them, look, hold the bread. I'm going to take in the carbs with the avocado toast because it's on the superfood menu and they have the best avocado toast.
It is on the superfood menu. Yeah, he's correct.
Yeah. I didn't even know they had a superfood menu.
They've got a skinny menu. They've got a superfood menu. Somebody texts in that they just opened a Rita's in Coral Springs.
Nice.
I might have a Rita's closer to me than West Palm. Huh. Somebody else texts in, the Factory Burrito Grande is on the Mount Rushmore of cheesecake entrees.
It's just like, I don't think to go there and get a burrito because there's some really good, like, mom and pop Mexican places not too far from me. So I'm not going to be like, oh, burrito night, let's go to Cheesecake Factory.
I'm telling you, if you've never had the crusted chicken Romano at Cheesecake Factory, you are missing out. I'm telling you. You're missing out.
Now, what's your take on the actual cheesecake there? Because a lot of people talk a lot of trash about it. Oh, it's so overrated. But my thing is, where else am I going to get a s'mores cheesecake? Like, I can't just go to go to my neighborhood deli and get like a double Oreo s'more cheesecake. So I like the fact that the Cheesecake Factory has 150 different options for cheesecake when I can't get that sort of thing at a regular spot.
Yep, I would never hate on their cheesecake. Their red velvet cheesecake.
Oh, that's good too.
The best. That's their best. And they've got a new one. We went there a couple months ago or ordered in a couple months ago. They have a Cinnabon cheesecake and it's got that cinnamon swirl or whatever. Unbelievable. I almost cursed. Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. So there you go. All right. We've broken down the decision, the Cam Newton trade or the Cam Newton signing and Cheesecake Factory and Rainforest Cafe. I think we've had a fortuitous first hour on the program.
Now I am good and hungry. Oh, I could eat just about anything right now. I haven't eaten all day. Then again, I only eat one meal a day. So kind of weighs itself out. nonetheless, Cheesecake Factory, all-time banger. But when you leave the place, you want to kill yourself. You just feel guilty. You feel dirty. You are fatter. But nonetheless, every once in a while, you just have to go and enjoy. Haven't been to a restaurant in a long time with this coronavirus, especially in South Florida, how bad it is. I'm just not in the mood for takeout. I'm not in the mood to dine in. I just, paranoid the whole time that my food isn't right, and I'm not going to enjoy it enough, so I've just been eating Minas sandwiches and drinking beer. I'm ready to get back to the world as we used to know it, at least somewhat as we used to know it. Some people going crazy like me in this whole coronavirus wear your mask thing, like Trader Joe Karen.
This is day one. This is opening day of Trader Joe's in North Hollywood. This is Karen.
My favorite thing of that clip, in the background, it's Culture Club's Karma Camellia. Karen, come on. Come on, Camellia. Speaking of masks, Port St. Lucie. They're in it too. Listen to this mask guy.
We are being lied to. Our freedoms are being taken forever. And I will not be muzzled like a mad dog. And I will not have my health destroyed because you idiots can't read truth. You go along with the lies that are the people who are trying to take down our freedoms and destroy our country. This is sick. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for being a part of this. And I will not be muzzled. And it's time for us to stand up for our freedoms. Because if we stand back and let these pieces of crap handle our freedoms, we will have nothing left. In fact, we'll end up being dead.
Amen. Why isn't that guy running for president? I like the way he speaks. I don't know if I agree with all the stuff he's saying, but I will not be muzzled. Freedom! Never have I been so moved since the end of the movie Braveheart with William Wallace. Freedom! Will not be muzzled. That about do it for this rendition of a Miami Monday Best of the Joe Show. Had some great Miami music. Yes. Cat Dahlia sounding great. Remember to download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts for absolutely free. Radio.com app, or you can go to our website, WQAM.com. I'd really appreciate it if you download, listened, shared, loved, just made the world a better place. You can always get at me on Twitter, @DanDayRadio. If you have any questions, or if I talk too fast, or if I confuse you, nice and slow on Twitter, @DanDayRadio. Basically all the social medias, even some I don't know I have. @DanDayRadio. Just another way that we can go back and forth in this topsy-turvy world. As I said, I am going home. I would love to eat a pizza, but not in the mood with everything going on in the world. So probably just going to go home, watch some music videos, drink some beer, and eat some Minas sandwiches. I am Dan Day. Thanks for listening. This is the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!